I would ask that now you join me in giving another warm and enthusiastic South Dakota welcome for the former President of the United States of America, Bill Clinton.
Thank you. Whoa. Thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you. Hello, Sioux Falls. Hello, South Dakota. Thank you, Stephanie, for the wonderful introduction and for your service. I want to thank our candidates who are here. Paula Hawks, candidate for Congress. Jay Williams, candidate for Senate. Mayor Mike Huther, thank you for making me feel so welcome and for your service. I want to thank your party chair, Ann Thornburg, who's here, and the owner of this great place, Dave Andera, and his wife, Dawn, who welcomed me. And I want to thank the tribal leaders who are here and the members. First, the Crow Creek. Thank you, Brendan Saza, and the other members who are here. And the man who I always say gave the best campaign speech for Hillary in the 2008 primary, Tom Shortbull. Thank you for being here. Shortbull gave a short speech. And he's the president of a tribal college. He said, all I know is he went to the first Indian reservation since Franklin Roosevelt. No president had done that. He's talking about me. He said, and she visited too before he showed up. And he reeled off what we'd done. And he said, they say this election makes no difference. He said, all I know is if we don't stick with people who stuck with us, who will ever respect us again? I'm for her. And South Dakota voted for Hillary in 2008, and I hope you will again in 2016. I do want to thank your former Senator Tom Daschle for his support, and I want to say that this is the first presidential election in 44 years when I have not been campaigning on the same side as George McGovern, and I miss him. I did come here at the end of the campaign in 1996 to help Senator Johnson, and I was glad to do it. I liked him very much, and I loved working with him. I also went to Iowa to help Senator Tom Harkin, and he won a great victory there. And all my pollsters said, why are you going to these places? Everybody says you're going to win. If you just go to the big states and get a big turnout, you'll get a clear majority of the vote, and you won't have to put up with nearly as much grief. I said, if I let two or three Democrats go down, I'll have a lot more grief. I'd rather give up a few votes and help other people get elected. And so, here we are. Look, you heard Stephanie talking about my life a little bit. I sometimes feel that I'm totally useless in this election season because I'm a happy grandfather. I'm not mad enough at anybody. And because the life I spend now is driven by the real world and facts. I mean, we live in a kind of a fact-free political universe, you know. Actually, one of these political fact people call me out on a factual error I made, and unlike other people, I actually double-checked it, decided they were right, and I had read one article that was wrong, and so I changed what I was saying. Go figure, that's considered crazy in this atmosphere. Let's talk about this. South Dakota may seem a long way from the troubles of ISIS or the turmoil in Europe with the largest refugee crisis since World War II, or the continent of Africa, which has 6 of the fastest growing economies in the world, but 3 serious terrorist movements, or our neighbors to the south in Brazil in a turmoil threatening to hold back all of South America, our best trading partner in terms of trade balance. But the truth is, the kinds of debates you're having here are mirrored all over the world. And here's what the problem is. The information technology revolution has changed the world. It's opened up new possibilities you can't imagine. Everybody knows coal country's in trouble, right? But right next to there's a college right on the edge of the Appalachians called Morehead State, where teenage Eastern Kentucky undergraduates on a contract from the space agency NASA are making nano satellites. I spent $500 million of your money when I was president to start the first nanotechnology research. And I believed it could benefit rural America. So there they are, teenagers making nano satellites that I could hold in my hand. They cost $1 million. I never held $1 million in my hand before. But the big satellites that you make your cell calls off of, they cost $400 million, and these little satellites can do a lot of the work. And they're about to take the inside of one and put it on a rocket and launch, put it on the International Space Station, all put together by teenagers from Eastern Kentucky. So I was talking to one of these young people the other day, and I said, and all the computing power is in about a 1 1/4 inch cube box. So he's stuffing the stuff in, and I said, what's the container made of? He said, tungsten. It does real well in outer space. I said, well, where'd you get it? He said, we made it here with a 3D printer. And then he looked at me on the edge of coal country, and he said, now, Mr. President, don't let people make fun of your wife when she says we're going to put up 500 million solar panels in the next 4 years. He said, actually, I think she's a little slow. He said, within 2 years, we'll be making those solar panels with these 3D printers. We'll make them all in America. We'll create a bunch of jobs. They'll be cheap as dirt. They can be on everybody's home, and we'll all be free. And he said, we'll still be able to sell our regular energy to other people. It's going to be the greatest thing that ever happened. So tell her to bear down. Now, here's the point. Everywhere people are debating whether we can make a new future together, where we all grow together, or whether we got to basically hunker down, stick to our own, and do our best to get the most we can out of a shrinking pie. If you're in the latter group, you do not want to be for Hillary. You have other choices. But if you believe we can make a future and we can all ride up on the escalator together, she's your candidate. And she's your candidate for very good reasons. The most important thing are, if you got the best ideas, to include everybody in inclusive economic growth, where we raise incomes, increase mobility, decrease inequality, and make special investments in areas that have been left out and left behind. Indian country, coal country, all of rural America is lagging here. We need to do that. Everybody can do that. Number two, she got the best record and ability to deal with the two threats to America's rising together: political gridlock in Washington and trouble around the world, which has already slowed our economic recovery some. You got to elect a president who, from the very first day, can keep us safe and give us the space to grow. Because if we grow, we'll pull everybody along with us, and a lot of these troubles and tensions and conflicts will abate. And that's very important. Those are the two things that you ought to think about. Who's got the best ideas to help us grow together? Who is most likely to break the gridlock and keep troubles around the world from eating up our possibilities at home? And I think I think she'd be the best because you got the best ideas, you got the best record of doing it, and because she's the best change maker I've ever known. And it's very interesting to see after this long campaign, and for her, it's been 4 years of constant demonization by the Republicans. So it's easy to forget that when she left office as Secretary of State, she had the highest approval and the lowest disapproval of any figure in public life, the highest trust rating, and was generally regarded to have been an outstanding success. Which just shows you. And that wasn't very good for their business model, so they set about trying to tear it down. And our friends in the press occasionally helped because they needed a race. One fellow told one of the young people working for Hillary, he said, "Why didn't you point out this, that, or the other thing about what somebody was saying about her?" He said, "Because we want this thing to go on forever. We make $10 million every time we have a debate." And so let me just deal with that up front. I have a headline, which I'm about to get framed, from the San Francisco Chronicle on, I believe it was June the 23rd, 1992, when I ran. And it says, "Perot leads Bush, Clinton a non-factor." And there's a map saying I'm going to get 9 electoral votes. It's about 370 off. Why am I telling you this? Because as Democrats, our job is to come together and say we're about the future, not the past, but we want a future we can all share. We're tired of too much inequality, too much unfairness, too many people being left out and left behind. And if we make that choice, if we say, look, we think our differences are important. You know, Hillary and I have a more than 2-decades-long record, for example, of trying to value, honor, and support tribal sovereignty. We think our diversity is a great asset, and this crowd's more diverse than it would have been if we'd had this meeting 30 years ago, isn't it? We got the youngest, most diverse workforce in the world, and both the youth and the diversity are a huge advantage. That's why she supports immigration reform, so we can continue that path. But we have to believe in the end that what we have in common matters even more. If you believe that, then you want to build bridges, not walls. Right? Now, given legitimate security concerns and legitimate economic concerns, should the bridge have some checkpoints? Yes. Should it have some speed bumps? Yes. But should you turn it into a wall? No. Why? The most important reason is it won't work. The worst terrorist incident to occur in recent years in America was in San Bernardino, California. All those people were converted over to social media. So let's say you built that wall across the Rio Grande. Then look where we are. We're up north. You could build a wall across the Canadian border. There are a lot of foreigners in Canada. Can't tell who might sneak across. Then you could build giant seawalls along the Atlantic and Pacific coast. Once you secured them, you could send the whole U.S. Navy to the Gulf of Mexico to keep people out and put every airplane the Air Force has in the air to keep people from landing. We're laughing, but I'm making a serious point. You still couldn't keep the social media out, which is why Hillary's been the most outspoken person saying, we need American Muslims who love freedom and hate terror to feel welcome in this country and help us win this fight over the social media. So, when you get down to it, if you think you can recover a lost economy, which wasn't so great for a lot of Americans, she's not your candidate. If you want to build a new economy that benefits everybody and where everybody can get on the escalator and ride up and grow together, she is your candidate. If you believe that we have to do that. In order to do it, we not only need good ideas like a modern infrastructure, like a commitment to become the clean energy superpower of the world, like a commitment to use all of our energy resources in a way that is environmentally responsible and economically beneficial, like a commitment to get back to the business of creating jobs in manufacturing and small business, which has accounted for 2/3 of our jobs in the last 20 years, and do it in a way that allows us to grow together by having extra incentives and extra investments in all of rural America, and especially in the areas that are hardest hit, including Indian country, coal country, and a lot of other places that have these epidemic levels of drug addiction. She is your candidate. And that is what we have to do. And let me just say, to fill out the picture a little bit, everything Hillary has accomplished since I moved to Washington as president, from working with members of Congress to pass the Children's Health Insurance Program after we lost health care, which has 8.4 million kids insured now, to working with a House Republican leader who thought he disagreed with us on everything, Tom DeLay, to increase adoptions out of foster care by 80%, was done in a bipartisan way. And, you know, no matter how you cut it, we don't live in a dictatorship. You deal with the Congress you've got, and you got to prove you can get something done. When she was a senator from New York, what's important to point out for South Dakota is a big agriculture state. She became the de facto economic development officer for the outer regions of the state, beyond the New York City and suburban enclaves. She worked with farmers, with small manufacturers. She worked with distressed cities that had been given up for dead, and one of them, Buffalo, went from being a symbol of urban decay to a symbol of new renewal because of investments she got there that led to 12,500 jobs in healthcare and high technology. And she won it overwhelmingly in the primary because they believe we can make a better future. And when she ran for re-election, the head of the Farm Bureau was confronted when he endorsed her with a disbelieving press who said, "Joe, I thought you were a Republican." He said, "I thought I was too." He said, "All I know is they all sound good at election time. She's actually gone to Washington and done things to help our farmers stay on their land, and I'm for them." When 9/11 happened, she worked with the Bush White House to get $20 billion to help New York begin again, not just in buildings, but bodies. She became friends with people that had to have multiple plastic surgeries because of their horrible injuries and had other kinds of injuries. She made sure we passed a health care plan for all the first and second responders that breathed things she knew would cause them terrible respiratory problems and cancer and other difficulties. She worked with Republicans on the Armed Services Committee, including Senator John McCain and Senator Lindsey Graham, to make sure that our soldiers sent to Iraq and Afghanistan had the kind of protective gear and equipment they deserved to maximize their chances of survival. And when they came home, if they had traumatic brain injuries or post-traumatic stress syndrome, to make sure we invested in those things and to make sure it didn't matter if you were in the National Guard, Reserve, or regular armed services, you got the same quality of health care for rendering the same service to your country. And then, when she became Secretary of State, she got widespread Republican acclaim for negotiating sanctions on Iran, the toughest ever negotiated, and she got China and Russia to go along with them. I didn't think she could do that, but she did. When there was a shooting war between Israel and Hamas in Gaza, she flew to Egypt and met with the then Muslim Brotherhood president of Egypt, and together they broke an end to the shooting war. Saved God only knows how many lives and further instability in the Middle East. And when we tried to get along better with Mr. Putin, the only thing that survives that effort is something called the New START Treaty, negotiated by her team, which she got through Congress with 67 votes. That's a lot of Republicans. And it reduces the chances of accidental or intentional nuclear war. In a troubled world, that is a very, very good thing. She did that. And so, when I came here running for president in 1992, I could say something you're debating now about education. I could say when I became governor, they say we had the worst schools in America in Arkansas. And just last year, the same man who said that said we had one of the two most improved school systems in the country. As a private citizen, she headed our attempts to raise standards and to improve teaching and to improve the work of principals in the schools. And she had more to do with that than I did. I just had to sign the bill that passed. And I think it's important to be able to do things with people that disagree with you. Oh, I know they've been mean to her, but that's, you know, you gotta, I always find you should respect your adversaries. They do not spend their time attacking people they are not worried about. And they know that there's, you could fill this building with all the psychological studies that if you just sling enough stuff at people, even if every single charge is disproved, this is the only time in the history of America, by the way, when we ever had seven separate congressional committees looking at the same thing. In Benghazi, first, a professional nonpartisan group said they should have stronger security there, but it's not her fault. Secretaries of State don't make security decisions. Then the first of six committees chaired by Republicans found the same thing. So did the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. So the Republican leader said, you guys didn't get the memo. This is not about what happened. This is not about the truth. This is about whether we can take her down. So they had a special committee with a special purpose. And poor Kevin McCarthy, the Republican leader from California, said that the most outstanding achievement of the Republican Congress in 2015 was their special committee, which drove Hillary's numbers down. And he couldn't be elected speaker anymore because he told the truth. I felt bad about it. I mean, I'd hate to be part of a political party where you lost your chance to be a leader just by telling the self-evident truth. It wasn't like everybody didn't know it anyway. But you should take that as an endorsement of her candidacy, because she's always the grown-up in every room, and she will get people to do the right thing if you make her president of the United States. So, that's what I want to say. For 45 years, I have watched her do things I did not think anybody could do. Almost all of that time as a private citizen. In the Democratic primary, you've got two people who voted together 93% of the time. More than 90% of the people who served with both of them have endorsed Hillary. If you believe that they did it just because they're all part of some corrupt political establishment, there's no difference in Republicans and Democrats, you shouldn't vote for her. But if you believe these are good people like Stephanie, who tried to make a difference, then you should be for her. Because there's a reason all these different groups voted for her. Because they want a leader who gets things done. Sometime in this primary process, I found myself sharing a platform with a man who gave the most effective endorsement of Hillary of any member of Congress I've heard. And he was, until 2014 election, the senior senator from Arkansas, my native state. His father before him was a senator and a governor. He's one of the finest people I've ever known. A moderate Democrat. Worked with Republicans on everything. And he knowingly gave up his seat in the Senate by voting for the health care bill. And he said, you know, I love being a senator. And I knew I almost certainly couldn't survive in Arkansas, which has become very Republican, kind of like South Dakota, if I voted for this health care bill, but he said, when I was a little boy, I had cancer on the back of my leg. It was life-threatening. I was lucky to live. I got to grow up, have two children who are now grown, be attorney general of my state and senator. And he said, I simply couldn't look myself in the mirror every morning for the rest of my life thinking that to hold on to my Senate seat, I had denied the chance to live to other people just because they were from working class or poor families. I could not do it. And so I voted for it. So I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like a member of some ossified political establishment to me. And here's his speech. Here's what he said. He said, I know both these candidates, and I like them both. I have actually served with them both. But if you want to get something done for America, you ought to make Hillary the president, because she will get something done for America. So that's my pitch. South Dakota has been good to her and to our family. You know that we're serious when we make these commitments. I was thrilled when Hillary said she wanted me, if she won, to work hard on the economic challenges facing the places that were most in trouble in this country. I believe we are very close to being able to all rise together. And I would be happy to come back here and work on that. But you need a president, A, with the right policies. Only the president can do that. B, with the ability to get as many of them as possible through the Congress in the system that we have. And C, with the ability to keep us safe and give us the space we need to grow so we can lift the world instead of being dragged down by it. There is no question that she is the only person that can meet all three of those tests. And therefore, I ask you to support her in the primary. I ask you to support her, and for personal and very selfish reasons, I'd like you to support her so I'll have the duty to come back here and see you again. Thank you. God bless you.